Hi everyone and welcome to episode 264 of the Mighty Whites podcast. This one probably won't be the longest one in the world, but I'll start with a very quick one, KC. Daniel Farke, in his press conference, has basically, in more words than this, but urged it all to keep the faith. How's your faith looking?
About as much faith as I can always have whenever Leeds are in a situation like this. Little.
Right. I have more faith than I did as of the last podcast, but that's going from almost none to being a bit more logical. There's still a fairly good chance of us going up.
Automatically?
Less so. But there is a decent chance of us going up, and I shouldn't be as negative as I was in midweek, but I think that it was kind of weird hearing Daniel Farke say what my dad was saying. All those words, come on. It's good overall. Just keep your faith up. Keep going. It was odd to say that, because it basically means that, because my dad and Daniel Farke's football doesn't really get on. It's too negative.
It's fair to say.
Yeah, it's too negative, get it forward quicker, all of that stuff. And some of the time, my dad's right. But it was weird hearing him basically say the same thing separately. Shall we do the FA Cup first, by the way, and get it out of the way?
Yeah, go on then.
So, the FA announced that after from the first round onwards, the replays were being scrapped from the FA Cup, with some money being passed down, which is in no way, a please don't sue us bribe, to, placate all the clubs. And it has not placated them at all. Everyone is fuming. Not the top end of the Championship or the Premier League, obviously, but everyone else is pretty fuming. The EFL has come out and said that they were not at all consulted on this, which is weird because the FA's statement says that they absolutely were. And there's a thing in there that says everyone agreed at the start that this needed to happen, and then we've sort of gone off on our own. Is this EFL consultation the FA's version of, we consulted 10,000 fans about this badge? And then everyone goes, no, you fucking didn't. Name one, because I've never met one. And it turns out that they asked them about something else. They probably asked, should we try and do something about fixture congestion?
Yes, we should.
And they said, yeah, you probably should. And that was the consultation. And then they've just got rid of FA Cup replays. What do you associate with Leeds United? Oh, the Leeds salute. Okay. And that's your consultation. Now here's your patch.
Do you think any changes could be made to the FA Cup to improve it? Yeah, probably. Thank you for this consultation.
Yeah. I really do think that's what's happened.
Between people consulted by the FA over this, Leeds fans consulted about the badge, and people who go to Coldplay at Wembley, I've never met any of the bastards.
Yeah.
But apparently they exist.
Yeah. Obviously, I don't like it. I'm by no means a traditionalist. I'm really not. But you're meant to have replays in there. I don't particularly like that they got rid of them from the fifth round onwards. But the thing that I really don't get is they've sort of done this to help because the Premier League don't want to play replays. So why is it from the first round? Even if you take it from their perspective, which I don't, but for the thought exercise, if you do, it doesn't make sense then either.
Because it does not affect them at all in the first and second round.
Yeah. It is just
absolutely
silly.
Zero. Replays in those rounds don't push the rest of the FA Cup back.
Well, I mean, as I said, we've all seen the various jokes that are made of, it's a shame Man City got beat by Real Madrid on penalties because of Charlton having a replay against Craig Valley Paper Mills. there's been a million different versions of that tweet, but they're all right.
It's been really sad to see how this is very much a Premier League issue. It is also a Big Six issue.
Yeah.
That they don't want to play extra cup games. So well, put out the kids then. Don't go for it. But
yeah, I mean they do that anyway a lot of the time.
But you've also got massive squads. Let's not pretend you don't.
And you don't actually play any more that many. Well, if you win everything, you do. But you know, everyone else has to play. Everyone in every other league has to play 8 more league games than you. They're into the cup rounds earlier, so if they have any sort of running map, they play League One and League Two, play more rounds of the FA Cup.
And they play the first round of the League Cup. They join the first round of the FA Cup. They've also got the Football League Trophy.
Yeah.
And a 46 game season.
And 2% of the budget.
Yeah.
Like it's just.
And they do that while having just come straight out of the coal mine, right onto the football pitch. No hours.
You had a pitch. You were lucky. Well, back in my day, we used to have to play in all in Middle at Road, right? We used to have to wake up at 5 a.m. just before we went to bed, clean the hole, mark the hole, and then play the game. And if you broke your leg, you just had to rub some Robitussin on it and get your send back out there.
In all fairness, I think at Valley Parade, they'd kill for that hole.
Yeah. I haven't heard anyone outside of, and I'm including Big Six fans, just not the plasticky ones. The plastic Man United fans and stuff, they're going, oh, this is great. This is needed and necessary. But like, as much as I still don't like a proper scum fans, they all seem to be going, no, it's the FA Cup. You have replays.
You mean the same? It's the same divide lines of those fans who thought the Super League was a really good and super fun idea, and those who went, no, this is an absolute slap in the face of what football actually is.
Yeah, it is a similar dividing line. Although what I will say is if this is a, I don't know what the term would be. I'm going to say false flag, even though that's not the right term. To sort of unite everyone in going, fuck off, have your Super League then. Just fuck off, leave us alone. Because I am getting a bit, you know what? Just go, sod off.
I love feeling this strongly about something I'm very well aware we are never going to win again.
We will. We might not live to see it. But we will eventually.
There's the second centenary has to roll around sometime.
No, you know, the grey, the four grey brothers in the generation after this one, they'll get us there.
Can we, I don't know where we are with sort of cloning. Can we get like the grey genetics, throw in like some Brownlee blood into there as well, just to sort of give them the extra lung capacity and stamina? Like, I don't know where we stand with that.
I think that you're bordering between cloning and eugenics there, which is a bit iffy.
I'm only wanting to build a master footballer.
Yeah, just
does that make it better?
Yeah. I don't want to stop other people doing it. We just want one really good centre mid.
Yeah, brilliant.
But yeah, so unsurprisingly, we both think it stinks. But look, the good thing to come out of it is the EFL clubs are pretty united on something for once, and the non-league clubs as well. But this is where it's good having owners on Twitter like Andy Holt, and even though he can be a bit of a pain in the ass sometimes down the company, you know, they can come out and be very public about it, which helps other people come out and be more public about it.
Oh, you mean like Andrea Radrazzani?
He's good in that he was willing to speak publicly. He didn't speak in public well.
It's quite nice having owners that don't do really stupid things after a couple of glasses of red on a Saturday night, isn't it?
Yeah. I was just trying to think, it depends whether you consider signing Joel Piru. I actually quite like Piru, but it was the best example I could come up with.
Yeah.
We haven't got a Wassim boy at the minute.
Yeah, it's definitely the good thing with Darren McAntony and Andy Holt and people like that are that they are very open, and whether you agree with them on their views or not, they are for the most part typically fairly clear about these things and the effect that they have. And yes, they will always have their own personal slant on them, but you know, I just find it, like you say, the absolute gall of just going, well, if we chuck them a little bit more money, which I know there is no guarantee of, you know, Kidderminster Harriers getting that replay against Arsenal, but that's sort of what you live for a little bit as the lower level clubs. And I mean, you just have to look out how big a deal it was for us in League One with the Spurs game, and we would consider ourselves, you know, a big team still, even at that point. And even then, for us, it was a big deal to get that game back to Elland Road.
It was the same when we got the draw at the Emirates.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, admittedly, we wasted it on George McCartney. But, like, it was a big enough amount of money that it can make a difference to your season. And if it's someone even lower down the pyramid, it can set you up for a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, for me, and this doesn't need to turn into a long-form essay about what the FA Cup should be, because obviously, one, the big issue a lot of us still have is, why the fuck is the semi-final at Wembley, aside from because money? But I could fully understand if you got to the semi-final and went, right, there are no replays in the semi-final because people have to travel to Wembley, so we want a result on the day.
And we're already very close to the end of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're this weekend, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's a neutral venue. Yeah. So there is nothing to gain by going to either the same neutral venue or a different neutral venue.
Yeah, I think that's a good rule for it. No replays when it's at neutral venue. I think that's a good way of doing it.
Common sense approach.
Almost like that's what they've been doing for quite a while. I know they used to have replays in semi-final and final, but that's not for a while.
I mean,
they didn't have them by the time we were, like, 8.
I'm trying to think.
Semi-finals went to extra time and penalties when we were kids. Not when we were very young kids, but when we were sort of 7, 8, 9 years old.
Hmm.
I don't think it came up much. Did that... I hate this game, but did that one where Ryan Giggs scored and took his shirt off, was that in extra time? Or was that late in the 90 minutes?
So, replays were removed from the semi-final and final matches in the 99-2000 season.
Oh, so when I said 7, 8, 9, it was 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
That was...
So the Ryan Giggs one is the season before that, isn't it? Because that's in the treble winning season.
Yeah.
One of the treble winning seasons now. We can say it's not the...
Is better.
Yeah. A treble winning season. I just think this is very much a case of certainly bigger teams saying, we've got a lot going on here, what with the Europa League and all.
Yeah. Last thing on this then. Do you think that these protests will die down, or do you think that something big is going to happen? either the decision being reversed, or, as I have seen a lot of EFL clubs say, they're wrong about not entering the FA Cup next year as a protest.
The Premier League will like that.
Yeah, I will say that's not going to happen. It sounds like a great, and it would work, but I don't think you'd be able to get enough of a united front to do it.
Yeah, I'd be. The other side of it would be if everyone decided to play their under-18s when they entered the competition and just went, right, there you go. This is our protest. Have your cup competition, but it's essentially what happened with the EFL trophy, isn't it? That once they started putting the Premier League academy teams in, everyone just went, ah, bollocks to this.
Yeah, and then they brought in a rule that you had to play, what was it, like five players who played the previous league game, and one of the teams picked five and subbed three of them off after 1 minute.
I think if I remember rightly, one of them was a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Sub your goalkeeper in the first 2 minutes. That was a great protest. Love that. I don't know, because I suppose there are probably still teams, you know, in the National League and the lower ends of the Football League, who, if you get through the first couple of rounds of the FA Cup, it's a decent bit of money to make.
That's what it's a bit, the actual, although I think it'd work, it's a bit cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Is there
a decent chance of them backing down on this, though? I really do. With the amount of, if this sort of level of feeling keeps up, I could see him backing down.
Yeah, I mean, just looking here, so it was, you got moved to the quarterfinals. Replays were removed from the quarterfinals 16-17. Fifth round in the 19-20 season. So, but again, like you say, just the fact that they've just jumped from fifth round to, right, that's it. No more replays for anyone.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have liked it, but I could have at least got the logic if it was the third round. I would not be pleased about it, but I could at least get my head around it as a concept. This just makes no fucking sense. But we'll see what happens. But this will rumble on for quite a while, you would think. Something that has been rumbling along and has hit a bit of a bumpy patch, along with us in Ipswich, Leicester play West Brom 12:30 today. What do you reckon the chances are of getting some more luck?
West Brom are a decent team, and if Leicester keep playing like they have done, it's one of those, again, absolutely Leicester should win this, but it wouldn't shock me if West Brom got something from it.
No, I mean, not in current form. Like they appear to be in better form. Well, not just appear to be. They are really in better form overall than Leicester are recently. I mean, they had a bad result last time out. They got beat 1-0 at home by Sunderland. They had a man sent off, but I'm not sure how early that was. But before that, they were unbeaten in 10 before that, but they'd only won 5 of those 10. A bit like Middlesbrough, really. But loads of wins and draws is not bad form at all in this league.
No, they've pretty much held on to that fifth place for a fair while now of West Brom.
Norwich have only 1 point behind them, because Norwich they're probably in the best form of anyone in the league, other than maybe Southampton this last couple of games. That's why we can't be in the playoffs. Fifth and sixth in great form going into it. I think Leicester will win, but it's not a foregone conclusion.
No. Looking at the table, though, I do look at West Brom and just think probably, you know, four points from these last three games, and I think you're safe. I know Hull have got a game in hand to kind of keep them in contention, but
I mean, West Brom and Norwich are 6 and 7 points ahead, respectively. So that one game, and so, like, they don't need much, do they? But they do need something, and they'll want it as soon as possible.
Yeah, because like you said, again, if you can go into the last day knowing you're already in the playoffs, you can rest a load of players.
Yeah. And get your sense set properly. The other game affecting us today, Cardiff v Southampton. I don't have as much confidence in Cardiff getting something. And I mean, I don't have much confidence in West Brom getting something, but...
I completely forgot where Cardiff were in the table. Oh, they are very mid-table.
And their form is also not great at all. Like, they have lost 4 of the last 6. They've won at Birmingham, and they did win at Coventry, which was a pretty good result, but they've lost the other 4. Lost to Swansea, lost to Sunderland, lost to Hull, lost to Millwall.
Yeah, I'm not expecting a lot from them.
No.
Like you I say, mean, you're comparing that to Southampton, who are 3 wins in a row now.
Yeah. Weirdly, it doesn't actually affect... I mean, you know, all of Leeds games are must-win at this point, and you just have to win, regardless of what these are. But it would be nice if they could mess up. There'll be a lot of Leeds-based bets on Leicester and Southampton today. In terms of Leeds, Shackleton's back in training, but probably not available for this. But the big news out of the press conference was Conor Roberts is out for this game against Borough and the QPR match. Recurrence of the previous injury. Do you think we revert to type and it's Gray right back, Kamara back in midfield?
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to think if there's any other way you'd play this, but I can't.
You could play Byron. That's the other option.
You could. I don't see it. I feel like at this point you could be quite tempted to revert to what was working for most of the season. I know I've been a bit critical of Kamara this last sort of month or so. I see it being Gray going back to right back. The only thing is, potentially, and I know we discussed this last time, is whether Routier drops out and you go with Bamford and Pirou.
It's possible, but I don't think it's likely. I think Routier players. I think it will be sort of what the team has been for most of it. Melier, Gray, Roden, Ampadu, Firpo, Kamara, Gruev. There's an Umanar over the right wing, but I think it'll be Nonto, because I think he was his most effective attacking player in the last game. Routier, Somerville, and I think it'll be back to Bamford up top. And Bamford away at Middlesbrough, that's the sort of game that he'll be well up for, because he'll get a load of stick. And generally speaking, Bamford getting stick is good for him.
Depends, it's just not when it's from.
No, yeah, not when it's from his team's fans. When it's from the opposition fans, it tends to be good for him. Middlesbrough unbeaten in 9, 5 wins, 4 draws. Got a draw away at Ipswich last time out, so they're in pretty decent nick. But they are, they don't really have anything to play for. They are technically in the playoff hunt, but like, it's not happening. They need Norwich to lose all the games, and Hull and Coventry to also be terrible. Like, it ain't going to happen. But while ever they've got, because for they might not even be mathematically in it after today. They're 4-2-3-1 as well. I'm looking at the Who Scored lineup, and this is unlikely because it's got Luke Ayling and Sam Greenwood in it, which seems at best unlikely and at worst against the rules.
You know what? I'm all for it. Play him.
Yeah, play him. Give us a 3-0 win.
Yeah.
Luke, just say that you've negotiated something. Doesn't matter if it's true. Senny Dieng in goal. You get a few of these in the Championship. Really good goalkeeper. But when he drops a bollock, it tends to be a big one. I would think it's probably Dijksteel that replaces Ayling at right back, but Isaiah Jones has been playing right wing, and he can also play right back. so he might drop back in. But Jones, the front four has been doing quite well, so I don't know, want to break that up. Vandenberg, that 19-year-old centre-back who looks quite good, and Matt Clark, probably at centre-back. Matt Clark has been consistently bad against us for years. Didn't he give away a penalty at Elland Road?
He'd just come on. Yeah, he'd literally been on and just put in a really daft tackle.
Yeah, just took out Luther, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully he has another bad one. Lucas Engel at left back, I know less about. Their best centre back's probably that Dale Fry, but he's been out injured since February, so he won't be playing. And Daryl Lenihan's been out nearly the whole season, so they're a bit short back there. It'll probably be Johnny Howson and Lewis O'Brien in centre mid, which is pretty solid. You would think Johnny Howson won't be the most up for this.
Are we signing Lewis O'Brien yet, or what?
We'll get linked in the summer.
Yeah. Okay. One day.
Yeah. If Johnny Howson just fancies letting runners go and just not really having his biggest day.
Yeah, can you put in a Jermaine Beckford performance for us, please?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, look, there's all of this. They're tightly packing the middle like everyone else. Oh, there's a big hole in the middle. What happened?
Where's Johnny? Oh, he's waving at the away fans.
They've got Dan Barlaser, who's pretty decent to back him up. Like, it wouldn't actually shock me if he played Barlaser and O'Brien because he saw it coming. But yeah, the front four looks pretty good. That Isaiah Jones on the right, who is, whenever I've seen him, he looks pretty good. I was under the impression that it was like a Middlesbrough Academy thing, but he didn't. They actually signed him from Tooting and Mitcham.
No.
So he's a bit of a Beckford sort of signing. But he's done pretty well. Sam Silvera on the left, he's been on the bench most of the season. He was one of them that he stood out miles in the A League, and he went to Portugal. It didn't work out. Went back to the A League, stood out miles again. And this time it was Middlesbrough. But he's played quite a lot of games and done okay. It would probably be one of him or Sam Greenwood, but obviously Sam Greenwood can't play. But yeah, then the main two, they've got that Finn Azaz at 10, who has had a year and a half on loan at Plymouth and been just about their best player the whole way through. But he was always on loan from Villa, and Middlesbrough bought him from Villa in January. He looks a really good player at 10. And then that Emmanuel Latelaf up top, who's got 12 goals this season. He looks like a pretty good player. He was by a mile their best player at Elland Road. Because if I remember rightly, he got subbed off and all of us went, wow, I cannot believe they're taking him off. Because he was really giving us a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it's a weird game. Like I say. Yeah, they're a decent team in fairly good nick at the moment. But as you say, realistically, their season's done.
And it might actually be done by the time this kicks off.
I am not saying this as a... I'm not trying to say this as a big club looking down on anyone or anything like that. I just feel like Middlesbrough fans make a bigger deal of disliking us than we do.
They definitely do. Because they think they're in Yorkshire and we all know they're not. I love saying that, it really annoys them. I will say, I don't think it's quite as much the case for this one, because I may have potentially looked at how hard it would be to get tickets in the home end for this. And there was quite a lot left.
Yeah.
And Middlesbrough do have a decent fan base. So if they were treating it as big as they have done in previous years, that wouldn't have been so easy. Unfortunately, you have to have a certain number of loyalty points to buy a ticket, so you can't just create an account and buy them. Not that I would try and do that, obviously.
Not that you, Jack Robshaw, tried.
No, that definitely... Well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have done it. I mean, I may have asked someone else to. but yeah, they... If I'd have been that desperate to go, I'm sure I could have gone on Twitter and found a Middlesbrough fan. But the I don't think they're quite, because they know that their season is pretty much done, I don't think they're treating it as big either. But the ones that are there will be well up for it. And it's usually a pretty good atmosphere at the Riverside. It's a ground I quite like, actually. I've been a few times. It tends to produce quite a good atmosphere, although in my experience, not great games. I think I've been twice in recent years. There was the 1-0 win where Click scored, where we got kettled in by the cops and I nearly missed my fucking train. And the 1-1, which will have been the year before, where Calvin Phillips equalised in like the 100th minute.
Is that when Jack Clark collapsed?
That's when Clark collapsed on the bench, yeah. That was the one where I was having to yell at people around me because they were going, fuck's going on, fucking get on with game, and having to go, you do realise they're surrounding our bench, right? yeah, it was a... It would have been nice to go, same formations. It's a bit like Blackburn. Same formations, player for player, we've got the better team. Do you think, it's weird to say this given we've only lost one home game all season, do you think it being away might help?
Possibly, yeah, after a couple of lackluster performances at home.
And the crowd did get on the backs a bit, and I don't think that was unreasonable, but there was a few that properly booed him, which was, that was unreasonable. But for the most part, it was just frustration and going, a lot of fuck's sake, Leeds, just fucking get on with it and stuff like that.
I suppose, I don't know if this, I'll squeeze this in here anyway, as a completely unrelated note to any of our recent games. Have you seen that they are doing some trials with time wasting against goalkeepers?
Yeah, if they take too long, it's they're looking at either a throw-in level with penalty spot or a corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll talk about that if it comes in. You know that you can only hold the ball for so long, Will?
Still a rule.
It's still there. Just use it.
I was reading a couple of conversations about it online, and it was like, you know, they were like, you know, 6 seconds is a long time. I was like, listen, I wouldn't mind if you stretched it to 10 to 12 seconds. I'd give them double the time. It's that refs are giving them six times the amount of time on the ball.
Yeah.
Than that, it's mad. But yeah, if only there was something referees could do about it. Aren't there?
Yeah. I think that the lack of home fan pressure might help. It also, because of the situation we're in theory, at home, Middlesbrough won't just switch to a back five, put two centre mids in front of them and just sit on the edge of their box.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't really do that at Elland Road, if I remember rightly. They played all right. And that's probably a good thing for us. Like, I mean, Carrick doesn't strike me as a 10 men behind the ball sort.
No. And I think given the season they had, and not that I think Carrick's job is under any threat or anything like that.
They just had a ridiculously bad start.
Yeah.
You know, like, they were the opposite of Preston. Preston didn't play that well for 10 games and were top at league. Middlesbrough played all right for 10 games and were in relegation zone.
Yeah, I do think at this point of the season, I don't think it would do fan relations any good if you went, well, we've got 3 games left, best defend this one.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd be, is this their last home game of the season?
Look at the research.
No, they are at home to Watford on the last day. I was hoping this would be the last home game of the season because that makes them even more likely to go for it. And going for it, in theory, will help us. But yeah, because of it, I mean, I think Middlesbrough are a better side than the two teams we've just played. But weirdly, I think that the setup of the game will suit us more. However, I am in doom mode, so I am going to say that Leeds lose 1-0.
I'm gonna say I'm going to do it, Jack. Return to form, comfortable 2-0 win.
Return to form with a comfortable 2-0 win. Well, that would be nice. I was just checking my phone to see if I had one off Connie yet. I don't, so the rule is in effect. What is Leeds' shortest price win?
Is it a 2-1 win?
It probably is. That's what it normally is. Alex has messaged me to say he's going for a 1-1 draw. And Leeds' shortest priced win is... Shock horror, it is. Oh no, it isn't the 2-1. It's a 1-0 win.
Ooh.
This time. So, yeah. So, Connie's got a 1-0 win. If he does message me and changes it, then, as long as it's before kickoff, fine. I think that is all that we need to... Oh, the 21s won 2-0 last night. I haven't even watched the highlights yet. I know Luca Thomas scored the goals. So they've won two in a row. One of them admittedly was against Derby or bottom of the league, but we were bottom of the league before that.
Yay.
Yeah, but there's no relegation, so there was nothing really to talk about because they've Americanized the fuck out of it.
Let's combine two leagues and get rid of the rest of it.
Why is it 26 teams and 16 getting the playoffs?
God damn it.
Yeah. You know, we went to that game and watched them win the...
win the most pointless trophy.
Yeah,
we've been promoted. We've all been promoted.
We've been promoted, as has everybody else. Yay. God, that final, our like front three... I know that two of them were Joseph and Ruta.
Yeah. And then...
I don't think we played them at all.
Would it have been McGurk?
Yeah, probably.
Weirdly,
I remember coming out of it and the most impressive player was Chris Moore playing at fullback.
Chris Moore playing at fullback, and was it Jeremiah Mullen with the fantastic volley?
Yeah. But yeah, that will do us for episode 264. Hopefully, in fact, I will just quickly check and see something because there was a rumour sort of going round that Leicester might have quite a few missing today and the team news will be out by now, even though they haven't put it on the BBC Sport website because why would people care about that, eh? Twitter it is. We'll just check, see if I've got a few players missing because that would be nice.
I have the Leicester Twitter account open here.
Dewsbury Hall was one of them. He's playing. Vardy was one of the gouts. He's playing. No, it's a fair... It's not their absolute full-strength team, but it's pretty much.
I'm by no means a tactical master of any kind. From what I've watched of Leicester the last few weeks, go at Choudhury.
Yeah, I've seen a bit of that. The other one that was rumoured was Ricardo Pereira, but he's only dropped to the bench, so there wasn't much in it. Cool. Well, that'll do us for episode 264 of the Mike White's podcast. I've been Jack, see ya.
I've been Casey. Have a good one.
Just fucking win, Leeds.